This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, William Hearn, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. It's 1978, and I'm heading towards a commotion of kids on the patio in my neighborhood. They're all surrounding a piece of equipment that they're recording their voices with and then playing it back. It's a simple tape recorder, the kind with the five buttons, two of which are play and record, which you press at the same time, record your voice, stop, rewind, and listen to again. All the kids are playing with it, and they let me try. It's the first time, I think, that I was committing data to a recorded medium and then bringing it back. I hate my own voice, but I'm fascinated at this thing existing. It's something I really enjoy, and I want to do more of it. 1981, I'm visiting Chris Buford. He is showing me how a modem works, that you can put your phone headset into a cradle, call a number, and get information back. My first thought is that I want to do this all the time, and I want all of the information that can come at me at 300 baud. 1985, I'm going through a bunch of floppy disks. I have figured out that you can call all over the country to bulletin board systems, download information from them, and store it on floppy disks as much as you can afford, as much as you want to, and getting an infinite number of floppy disks. I can't imagine going any faster than this. I am building up dozens of them with all sorts of shareware and text files, and I don't ever want it to end. 1988, I have set up my own bulletin board system. It has an incredible amount of information available to it, and it can store up to 10 megabytes on two different 5-megabyte hard drives that my father has gotten me. It's incredibly expensive, but it's worth it. People can call in from all over the country, leave messages, and send me text files. I think I'm going to become the king of some sort of media empire from these text files. I don't ever want it to end. It's what I want to do forever. 1988 and 1989, I have an Amiga. I am going out of my way to get my hands on discs that are running demos and music and graphics. I am connecting with my Amiga to several internet dial-ins that MIT makes available for the express purpose of finding FTP sites. I am gathering up hundreds of floppy disks with untold megabytes among them. I don't ever want it to end. I acknowledge that I have downloaded more in a single night with my Amiga than I ever gathered in the years that I was connecting to bulletin boards. But I figure this is the top of the heap. It's not going to get any faster than this. This is a joy. I don't ever want it to end. 1993, I'm working at MIT as a temp worker. I'm working in the physics department, and during lunchtime, I'm able to go down to the SIPB lab in the student center, and I'm able to use their X terminals to download a program called Mosaic, which is going to connect to something which eventually is called the World Wide Web, and a bunch of disparate activities that used to be one-off efforts, one after another, are all happening at the same time. It's laying out pages for me, pulling down all of these graphics I used to download one by one, and presenting them almost like a printed page. Pages from not only the country, but all over the world, constantly going from one place to another because everything has become graphical. Watching as aspects of the zine culture I had loved in my teens and the wonder of hackerdom are combining and creating these wonderful little sites that I would have never dreamed would be so quickly accessible to me here in this student lab in Boston at 23. I love it, and I want to do it forever. 1996, working nights at Focus Studio, there's a dial-in to an internet connection, and I realize, using a program, that I'm able to connect to Usenet binary groups and download all sorts of files simultaneously. On Usenet, in the binary groups, they have to post everything broken into infinite number of parts. You might get a 100 megabyte file, but it's going to be dozens and dozens of messages, and you would normally have to assemble them all by your own, but this program is putting it all together for me and graphically showing all of these different files, downloading as fast as they can through this one singular connection that we have at the game studio. The entire floor is dark, except for my cubicle, downloading file after file after file. There's nothing for me at home. Everything is online. This is where I want to be. It's midnight. I know I need to get home soon, but I'm enjoying it. I never want it to stop. I want it to go on and on. I want it to last forever. 1999, I'm working at the hosting company. It's on a river that I never see, up in a town that I never visit. I am at my cubicle. I love it so much. I'm just sitting there downloading things through multiple T3 lines directly to my machine into my Sun workstation, where I'm writing them out on CD-ROMs and building huge binders of information pulled from all over the internet. I own hundreds of audio CDs, but I've discovered a program which I can put into the Sun workstations that aren't being used and have it rip MP3s out of them. This program can turn an audio CD into a series of MP3s in about 7 to 15 minutes. And by running around through all of the dormant workstations, I'm running an entire operation myself, turning hundreds of these MP3s that were previously in massive boxes in my house into a file system. I'm also a little scared. Arcade ROM sites, which were prominent throughout the 1990s and being used by people who had arcade machines, are disappearing left and right because emulators have come on the scene, and all of those ROM sites are getting shut down, destroyed, lost, and I'm worried we're never going to see any of those ROMs again. I start assembling these ROMs into directories, into archives, and sharing them with a small group of friends, just to be sure that when the inevitable ROMpocalypse comes and we can't get arcade ROMs anymore, someone will have them safe. I think I'm being very brave and very forward-looking. I am now unquestionably the caretaker of a massive mountain of data running into the gigabytes. It's never been this much before. It probably will never be this much again. I never want it to end. I want it to last forever. 2006, I am very worried about podcasts. I have a number of machines on a 20 megabit Fios connection in the basement of my home. I've set up servers both as web servers and to be able to pull things off of the internet. I have set up a custom machine that does nothing but download every podcast, every RSS feed I can possibly find. I'm storing them on 250 gigabyte hard drives, things I couldn't possibly have ever thought would exist in the 1990s. I'm buying them for just $200 a piece. I have to swap these discs out. I don't know where this is going to go. I don't know what's going to happen. But just like my ROM collection, my Amiga collection, my text files, I don't want to lose them. If I just take a little time now and make them available, I'm going to be able to keep them forever. 2009. I'm unemployed. I'm divorced. I've moved in with my brother, and I've convinced him to let me put a shipping container in the backyard. It's going to hold everything I've been collecting up to that point. Paper, computers, media of all sorts. I'm going to keep it in a way that's going to be safe, forward-looking, and to ensure I can refer to it. Within a couple years, I've completely filled this shipping container. It's very hard to get into, but at least I know it didn't get thrown out. It didn't get lost. I'm finishing up a documentary my second. I've traveled all over the country twice, going on the search for stories, for putting things together, for talking to folks about how their lives were, and then cutting it up in a way that tells a narrative. I love doing it. I want to do nothing else. I'm going to become a nomad that tells the story of the world, while also keeping a warehouse of physical material that I'll be able to refer to. It's going to be a great life, and I want it to last forever. It's 2016. I've been working at the Internet Archive for 5 years. It's essentially infinite bandwidth, essentially infinite disk space. I'm famous, literally famous, for downloading, for the amount of data that I bring in or push out through the Internet Archive. I'm a significant percentage of the data coming in because I have inspired in some way an army of volunteers to help download as much of the internet as possible and put it up on the Internet Archive. It feels like my entire life has been building to this moment, that I have discovered a groove I will never get out of, and that things will only climb higher and higher, never to end, always to be. I get an email from somebody who has been living in an apartment in San Francisco. The owner of the building lived in the first apartment and rented the rest out. He's died. The building has gone to his family. And this resident, this tenant, has found that there were entire boxes and bags of CD-ROMs that this owner had, and they're in the basement. He sends me a picture. They're dusty. They're left off in a corner. They look almost like laundry. He explains to me these are thousands, thousands of CD-ROMs. He tells me that for the last 5 or 6 years of the owner's life, he would sit in his apartment burning CD-ROMs of material. He had a whole bunch of machines, a whole bunch of CD-ROM drives, and he had been just aggregating data, putting it onto these CD-ROMs, and then stacking them away. When he died, they just took all of these bags and threw them in the basement. The tenant was worried they were all going to be thrown out, and here he was reaching out to me, the famous downloader, to ask me if I would take them. My answer, of course, was yes. I always say yes when it comes to data, and he brought over bags and bags of them when I was in San Francisco again. I set up a machine with 3 CD-ROMs connected to it, and I began the process of transferring these thousands of CD-ROMs into hard drives. The CD-ROMs contain hundreds upon hundreds of pirated movies, TV shows, DVDs, audio CDs, MP3s. It's essentially a dump of what has gone through Usenet and FTP and torrent sites over the last 6 years. On each CD-ROM's paper sleeve, the owner had written meticulous printed information about the codec used to encode the file, what the name of the file was, and other metadata. He had written easily a paragraph on the back of each CD-ROM sleeve and done it for thousands of them, day after day, month after month, year after year, until finally he had died and his total output of his later life ended up in the basement of the house he owned. I transferred them all onto hard drives, knowing full well that everything he had downloaded was either out of date or redundant. And I reached out on Twitter asking if anybody wanted any of this. I got contacted by a young man in Santa Cruz, and after some arrangements, I drove down with multiple boxes to his mother's consignment store, where I handed over a whole bunch of the CDs, and he explained to me that his idea was he was going to take them and turn them into some sort of art, either break them up and restitch them into a sort of marble or mosaic pattern and create something new from them, something exciting. He and his mom and I talked for a while, standing over these boxes of dull gray discs, this incredible amount of effort that was going to become, in some way, a simple piece of art. And I wondered how many human interactions, this conversation that I was having, had this person missed, sitting there over all these machines, endlessly burning 640 by 480 XVID versions of major motion pictures. 2017. I have had a heart attack. Luck kept me out of the ground. I've taken my shipping container and emptied it. I've gotten rid of nearly everything that I've owned, transferred it to institutions, given it to warehouses, or thrown it away. The room that I was sleeping in, where it would get so cold in the winter I'd have to go to bed with a heater blowing directly on me, has been replaced by a healthy apartment that keeps me from coughing at night and allows me to walk around. I'm now taking long walks. I'm still downloading as much as I ever have before, but it's one of the things I do. It's not the only thing I do. I want to be known for other things. I want folks to have memories of me that weren't piles of file lists. I have days, entire days, where I'm never online. I still have more data than I've ever had in my entire life, but I'm living a different kind of life, and it's a life that I love, and I never want it to end. I want it to last forever. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to James Bakoyanu, Forrest Fuqua, Scott McCrady, and Mark Pilgrim, as well as the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt.